Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Beit, and let's just remember where we were last holding. So, we had an amazing machlokes in the Mishnah about what the din would be of a Korban Pesach that was shechted on Shachris of the 14th of Erev Pesach, if it was Shalom Lishmo. For some reason, Ben Becerra says it's possible, even though this should be a classical case of shechting a Pesach shelo bizmano, because after all, the morning of the 14th is shelo bizmano, which would mean that it would actually be a shlomim, and therefore should be kosher. What was the logic in Ben Becerra's position? So the suggestion that we had, our working suggestion, was from Rabbi Oshaya. And he said that actually, Ben Becerra holds that the correct zman of achilas haPesach, of shchitas haPesach, could actually be from the morning of the 14th, and that the way that he understands Ben HaArbaim is between the two evenings, that is to say, the two nights, between the night of the 13th, and that is to say, the night after the 13th, which is the night of the 14th, and the night of the 15th, and during the day of the 14th, you'd be allowed to shecht the Korban Pesach. And the only reason that we argue about it in this strange way of talking about the Pesach Shelo Lishmo, even though it could have been easily written as a machlokas about when is the time of the Korban Pesach, was in order to be able to incorporate the fact that you might have thought that maybe everybody would agree since it's on the same day, so maybe Shelo Lishmo would be possible, and therefore we want to know that no, actually, Rabbi Yehoshua argues on the idea of its being possible at any other time except in the afternoon. Okay, so we said it this strange way. Now, we had a number of problems, which is that there's other places where the Torah says Bein HaArbaim, and it obviously does not mean that it's Bein HaArbaim at the from the morning. So we asked from the Menorah, and we asked from the Keteres, and we said that in those cases, actually, the Menorah and the Keteres is not based on Bein HaArbaim, it's based on the fact that the Torah specifies that it's Me'erev Ad Boker, and it needs to be all night long, and it's not built on the Bein HaArbaim, it has to go from the night before, and therefore it's clearly not something that you could do in the morning. And we compare the Keteres to the Menorah, because actually it says that you're supposed to bring the Keteres together in the Pesach with the Menorah. Okay, that's where we got up to, and that brought us up to the top of the daf. So, today on the first line, the Gemara's Kasha is that if that's the case that we're being derishit from the word that it says Ba'erev, or Me'erev Ad Boker, I got news for you. It says the same exact words when it comes actually to the Korban Pesach itself. It says Beferish, Shom Tizbach Et HaPesach Ba'erev. So then that means you can't do it in the morning, because it says to do it in the evening. So it's exactly the same as the Korban Pesach. Answers the Gemara, that Be'erev is not coming to define the only time that you could do the Korban Pesach. That Be'erev is coming to tell you that there's two different reasons to do a Korban Pesach the afternoon time, which is that it says both Be'erev and Bein HaArbaim, and therefore it's to tell you that suppose you have in front of you the Korban Tamid Shel Bein HaArbaim to bring, and you have your Korban Pesach. You've got to bring your Tamid Shel Bein HaArbaim before you bring your Korban Pesach. Why? Because that's what the Pesach is for. Hahu, the Yu'uchar Davar Hu'as does. What is Yu'uchar Davar? The Tanya. It's innately Be'erev and Bein HaArbaim has got to be later than just Bein HaArbaim, right? So Yu'uchar Davar Shenemar Bo, both Be'erev and Bein HaArbaim, that should be coming later in the day than something, or I shouldn't say later in the day, but after you did the first thing, in which the first thing was only said Bein HaArbaim. Now the Tamid Shel Bein HaArbaim never said anything about Be'erev, it only said Bein HaArbaim. Whereas the Pesach, it says both Be'erev and Bein HaArbaim. time, so which one do you think ought to come first? Just the Ben Arbaim afternoon should come before the one which is both afternoon and towards evening. So the truth is that, yes, according to Ben Batera, of Oshaya would still maintain that you can bring a Karma Pesach from the morning, but if you didn't get it done until the afternoon, then you're going to have to wait until you bring the Tumich of Ben Arbaim, and only then bring your Karban Pesach. So there'll be a gap. You could start in the morning, but if you didn't get it done in time, then you're going to have to wait till you finish the Tumich of Ben Arbaim. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nihyeh bedvaro. But that's crazy, says the Gemara. How could you have something where the Zman begins in the morning? So if you shechted it, you shechted lebitzafra, if you start in the morning, you say, yeah, that's fine. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, that's fine. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, it's fine. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, that's fine. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, whoops, no good. You got to wait till you first bring your Korban Ben Arbaim, and then you can go back to bringing your Pesach. I mean, it was good enough in the morning. You stop in the middle and then you start again. Isn't that strange? That you have something that is Ilu Shachet LeMitzafer would have said, yeah, yeah, that's fine. But the moment that the afternoon comes around, Kimati Ben Arbaim, then we say, no, no, wait a minute, you got to do this other thing first. Well, of course we find such a thing. Everybody knows that. There is a very beautiful case on any Yontav where you didn't daven Musaf till the afternoon. Wait, can you start Musaf in the morning? Yes. Finish Shacharis, you can do Musaf. But what happens if you didn't do Musaf until it was time for Mincha, which is connected to Tumich of Ben Arbaim? So therefore, you got to do your Mincha first, and then you go back to doing your Musaf, exactly like here. So you got to do your Karban Ben Arbaim, the equivalent of Mincha, and then you're able to go back to your Karban Pesach, which could have been done from the morning. There you go. So it's perfect. Now, of course, that may interest you particularly, since most people on Yom Kippur, they finish davening Musaf after they finish davening Shacharis after it's time already for Mincha. So how do they start Musaf? It's connected to Gemara. So the Mishnah Brura says that this halacha is only true biyochid. But berabim, since the rabim will get mixed up if you change it, you do mincha first and then musaf. So because of that, betzibur, we don't make that change. But the truth is, if you were davening alone, you would first daven mincha and only then go back to davening musaf. Exactly. So that's the case. We find precisely the same thing, because Omer Rabbi Yochanan, halacha is first daven mincha, then daven musaf. So even though you could have daven musaf earlier, you see that there's a break, starts again, and then you have to daven musaf after mincha. So it's mamish keneged the tamid shabein arbaim, and akravas akarban pesach. Okay, and now, a question is, however, the problem is, if now we're saying that the Keteres and the Neres don't really come Bein Ha'arbayim, they come because of the special Diyuk that we said, Ten Lo Kimidasim, Erev HaBeker, and so on, so then why did it have to say Bein Ha'arbayim at all? I mean, if it says Bein Ha'arbayim, I thought that was why we do it Bein Ha'arbayim, but turns out it's not why we do it, so why does it say it? And that means that Reb Hoshaya's explanation doesn't seem to hold water, because we can no longer explain what he's saying, that the real mokar for the evening time, for the Keteres and for the Menorah, is not from Bein Arbaim. And another thing is that if you take a look at this Braita, it's clear that Rabbeinu HaKadosh does not agree with Reb Hoshaya, because it says over here, Hey Shiv Rab Tachas Ben Beseira L'Devi Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi said, to explain to Rabbi Yeshua, who says that it should be no different, the morning of the 14th is no different than the day of the 13th, this is what Rabbi said. You know what, when Betero would tell you, he would say, Lo, Imam Arta B'Shloshasar. That's because the 13th might as well be a half a year ago. There's no point in the day of the 13th, which is Roy. Ein Miktzato Ra'oi. But on Arba'asar, Miktzato is Roy. The afternoon already is going to be Roy for the Pesach. So obviously, if Reb Hoshaya was correct, and he was learning that Ben Sera's point is that the entire day of the 14th is kosher for Shchitas HaPesach, then why did Rebbe say only part of the day? He should have said, no, the din is that kulo royu. So clearly Reb Hoshaya is wrong. Okay. All right, so then Reb Yochanan said, okay, so then I'll give you another pshat. The pshat is that according to Ben Becerra, the truth is that he would hold that a Pesach in the morning of the 14th is not kosher a Pesach, not the way Reb Hoshaya was learning. And what's more, if you shechted the Pesach lishma, it would be pasul because it's shelo bizmano. But even if you shechted it shelo lishma, which you'd think, okay, so now if it's not the correct time, so then the Pesach was a shlomim, and a shlomim shelo lishma is kosher, right? Wrong. He holds that whether you shechted lishma or shelo lishma, it's going to be pasul. Why? Because since part of the day is good, I only make tzaso roi. So because of that, he says, look, it's not going to be considered a shlomim until the afternoon. There's no such thing as shlomim in the morning, Pesach in the afternoon. Once this is the day for the Korban Pesach, then the Pesach shelo bizmano is not a shlomim. So therefore, if you shecht it, l'shem Pesach is bad news, because you're shechting a Pesach shelo bizman. So it doesn't matter whether you shecht it l'shmo or you shecht it shelo l'shmo, because it's also considered to be that since today is the time when the Pesach will be chal, so menela, it's too close to the Zman to say, well, it automatically became a shlomim. So therefore, there's no way that it'll be kosher, not lishmo, not shelo lishmo, in the morning. That's what Ben Becerra held. And it was indeed not because the Pesach is kosher in the morning, not like Reb Hoshaya said, that Ben Arbay means between the two nights. It's simply because miktsasai roi. So Rabbi Abo was magadev. What? That's crazy. Because in Cain, Pesach Koshel Ben Becerra, Echimashkar Chasala. It means there won't be any time that you could have a kosher Pesach, because when did you make this a Korban Pesach? If you made it a Korban Pesach on the morning of the 14th Aidna, so now it's Erev Pesach, it's not Roy now to be brought, is it? You said you can't bring it for anything. It's not Roy for Shlomim, it's not Roy for Pesach, okay. You know what that's called? So let me introduce to you what's that's called. That's called dichui. It's called dichui me ikara. Let's understand this concept of dichui before we proceed. Dichui means something which is unusable for a carbon, even when now something changes and it becomes usable, since it was pushed away from the Mizbeach. Dichui means literally to be pushed away. Since it was pushed away from the Mizbeach because of whatever the problem was earlier, it's not kosher. Now, there's two ways that something can be nidche, which is the word for the passive thing, which was dochui, nidche. There's two ways. Either initially, as soon as, like in this case, as soon as you made it a Korban Pesach, we ask ourselves, this, Korban Pesach? You can't bring this as a Korban Pesach, because now's not the time to bring it as a Pesach. Well, it's really a Shlomim if it's Shlo Bizmano. No, not according to Ben Becerra, it's not a Shlomim either. So that means that it was not a kosher Korban at that time. That's called Dichui Mi'ikara. Now, suppose you made it a Korban Pesach yesterday, on the 13th. Then it was kosher, and because a Pesach Shlo Bizmano is a Shlomim. And therefore, it's perfectly kosher shlomim on the 13th, correct? But now when the morning of the 14th arrives, it suddenly is not kosher for anything. This is the way the Rebbe's learning. Not as a shlomim and not as a Pesach. That is called nir'eh v'nitche. It was originally usable, and then it became pushed away because of the change. Nir'eh v'nitche is worse than dichui me'ikara. Because dichui mi'ikara, you could say, it just hasn't arrived at the stage at which it's usable. I mean, let's talk about a newly born animal. You cannot use that until it's the eighth day. First 7 days, posik says shivas yomim tiatachas imo, right? Only mi'yom ha'shmini v'hala yeratzeh. That's not dichui. It just hasn't arrived at the stage where it would even have been usable. It's only where the animal is perfectly okay, but we're not allowing it to be used, that you would call that dichui meikara. So that would be the animal's perfectly good korban, but you made it a Pesach at a time that you cannot use it. Not for a Pesach, but for a Shlomi. So therefore, says Rabbi Abo, Rabbi makes no sense. Because that would mean that according to Ben Batera, if you made this today on Erev Pesach, you made it a korban in the morning, so then it's dochui meikara. And if you made it a korban Pesach yesterday on the 13th, it was originally okay, because it was a Pesach Shlomi Bizman, it was a Shlomi. But now in the morning, it became nitcha because you're not allowed to use it for anything. Not kosher, not for Shlomim, and not for Pesach. So that means that there's no way to have a kosher Pesach. Well, Rabbi Abba himself says, I mean, actually there is. It's just a little weird. The only way you could have a Korban Pesach is if you first made it a Korban Pesach after Chatzos. At that point, it is a kosher Korban Pesach. And that way, it's just a little strange, I think, that this would be the only way that you could bring a Korban Pesach. Says Abaye, no, even if you want to tell me that you made the Korban Pesach a Korban on the morning, it's not going to be dochui. Why? Because the dochui, the technical term for this particular dichui, is, and this is another term, and this is getting me upset that we don't have a Gavi writing down. So we had Dichui, we had Dichui Mikora, we had Nira Venitcha, and when he gets back on, he better put it back in. Dichui Mikora, Nira Venitcha, and now another concept. Concept which is called Mechusar Zman. Mechusar Zman means something that cannot be used because it has not, it's not at the time for it to be ready to be used. So that idea, Mechusar Zman, would be, in this case, it's not time yet for the Korban Pesach, which is only going to be in the afternoon. Ah, however, says Abaye, if the time is going to arrive today, within a few hours, that is not called Mechusar Zman. And therefore, it's not a true dichui. It's just sort of, we're waiting, which is not the same as pushing it away. Rav Popa says, forget about the morning. Even if you would have made it a Korban Pesach the night before, it still wouldn't be a problem. Why? Because the nighttime is also not Mechusar Zman, and I'll prove it to you. It doesn't have to be in a few hours. It could be only after the whole night passes and then the rest of the morning. Proof is that if you have a newly born animal, and you waited the requisite 7 days, and now it's the nighttime. And what you want to do is you want to put it into the deer. The deer is the holding pen. And you want to start letting those animals out and count to number 10. And then number 10 will be Meiser Behemoth. You can do that at night because you're just selecting number 10. Problem is that if you put in an animal that was only 7 days old today, it never got to the eighth day, so it isn't ready to be brought as a korban yet, right? And yet, Rabbi Yishmael says, even in the night before the morning of the eighth day, you can bring it into the deer, into the holding pen, in order to make it meiser. And this is clear from the drasha of Rav Avturiki. The Rabbi Avturiki points out that the pasuk contradicts itself. It says, Vayashivat Yamim Tachat Imo. So what does that mean? 7 days it shall be with its mother, which means that night it can be brought as a korban, right? But then it says, Umiyom Hashmini Bahala, from the eighth day, not at the night, then it's good enough, Yeratzeh, which implies, but not at the night. Now, how do you explain that? Is it 7 days, or it says 7 days plus the night until the eighth? It means very simple. It's true, it only needs 7 days. And immediately after the 7 days, you could be making it Kodesh by putting it into the deer lehitaser. How is that? If it's not roi for korban, you see from there, Laila is not considered to be Mechusar Zman. So this is yet another thing that Gavi is missing here. So the Laila is there for the Kedusha, the Yom is there for Hartza'ah. Now, wait a minute, it's very interesting. Because there's a big question about yet another concept. Boy, oh boy. Somebody should write these down and make sure that Gavi gets them, all right? So the other concept is, are ba'alei chayim nidachim? Now that's a big machlokas. Something which is alive, life itself, is constantly changing. And therefore, since what you're talking about is a dynamic circumstance, is something that's alive, does it become ever dachui? Or by definition, if it's alive, it can't be dachui. That's a machlokas. Now, when you said that this animal that you want to make a carbon pesach is going to be dachui, and Rabbi Yochanan had to respond to it, you had to restate Rabbi Yochanan, so then apparently you understand that Rabbi Yochanan holds that ba'alei chayim are nidachim, despite the fact that there's many shitas who don't agree to that. Says Rabbi Abu, yes, indeed, absolutely, I do. Rabbi Yochanan does beferish say that ba'alei chayim are nidachim, and he says this in a very concentrated manner, because this is how we derive that halacha according to Rabbi Yochanan. Two people own an animal. One of them decides he wants to bring it as a carbon, so he's magdish his half of the animal. Now, you can't bring a half an animal, right? Okay, so that animal is not going to be roy for a carbon at the time that you were magdish it. So you turn around, and you're frustrated. You can't get your stupid partner to give the animal to Hagdish. So you buy it from the partner, and now you're magdish the second part. So you're magdish the second part. The whole animal is definitely kodesh, but it can't be brought on the mizbeach. Why not? Because since at the time that you made it hegdish initially, that was not a kedusha that was roy for the mizbeach, so it was dachui. So it's kedusha, but it can't be brought on the mizbeach, and it can make a tmura if you say this one should be instead of that one because they're no longer shutafim. See, even though we learned before that shutafim can't make a tmura, but in this case, it's the person who was originally a shutaf, but now he owns the whole thing. He can make a tmura, but that tmura is going to be just as messed up as this animal is, because the tmura takes on the kedusha of the animal that's the source of its kedusha, and since the animal was not ra'uya to be brought on the mizbeach, so the tmura can't be brought on the mizbeach either. Now, here's the point, says Rabbi Abu. You perhaps don't realize that there are three different chidushim that Rabbi Yochanan just taught us by this halacha. Because Shema Amina Talat, number one, Shema Amina Ba'alei Chayim Nidachim. You see from here that even though the animal was alive at the time that it had this problem of being only partially in the Rishus of Hegdash because the owner was a Shutef at the time, even though he goes out and buys it and the rest of it and his Magdash, it is not going to help. Why not? Because it's nitche. Why is it nitche? It's alive. Oh, so what do you see from here? Ba'alei chayim nidachim. That's your first point. Second point. Even though at the time that you originally made it hegdash, it was never roi, you see that even though it was dichui mi'ikora, ave dichui. Wow. So that clarifies Rabbi Yochanan's opinion about that machlokas. And there's a third point. Shema mina yesh dichui bidamim. Like this, I would have thought that the concept of dichui is a problem in the kedusha, meaning the kedusha is a guf, but something that's only kodesh for its value. I mean, you know, that's not, what is dichui? The concept of dichui seems to be related to the suitability for kedusha. If something is only owned by hegdash for its monetary value, I mean, it's just like any other ownership. That's what I would have thought. And you can't say dichui on something that has no innate kedusha saguf. You see from here that even though when you gave that animal to Hegdash originally and you didn't own it all, to be able to give it kedusha saguf, and it only had kedusha domim, you see from here that even kedusha domim can be saddled with dichui. So we have these three kedushim of Rabbi Yochanan. And Mr. Gavi, do you realize how many Gavi points you missed by coming just this little bit late? Do you have any? Give us a guess. How many do you think you missed? One? Two? Nice. Not bad. Somebody's been squealing to Gabi. Well, if you know how many, maybe you already know what they are. No? Okay. So you have to write down Dihui. You have to write down Dihui Mikora. You have to write down Balei Chayim Nidachim, but with a bracket in Balei Chayim Nidachim, right? You have to write down Dihui Mi Ikora Have Dihui. What did I tell you? I don't know. Somebody made a list. Okay, you'll hear that. Nidachin. Okay, so you'll listen afterwards, okay? And make sure you get it all. Okay, very good. Shavua Tov. You know, it's just, unfortunately, being singled out, it just comes with the territory. Once you take it on, that's it. You're in trouble. Omar Ula Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Here's a new din. Legabe Dihui. Which I wonder what the din is. Somebody ate some chalev, okay? And then he decided he's going to become a Muslim. So he was Meimir Dat. Now, of course, once he's Meimir Dat, he's not ro'oi to bring a korban. Because we learned that out before. V'lo ha'mumah, right? Then he realizes, boy, this is garbage. I'm going back. I'll go bring my korban. And then he's chazar bo. So in that case, it seems to be a koyo v'nitcha yidache, right? I hold that would be dichui. Same thing would be true. Suppose somebody ate chalev, he set aside his korban chatas, and then he went insane. So, if that's the case, if afterwards he is nishtapa, he gets better, that's true over there too. During the time that he was insane, he is not able to bring a korban because he doesn't have das. And the din is that a korban has to be brought, l'rotzein, and a person insane does not have that das to have rotzein. Okay, now, they seem to be saying the same thing, but they're not the same. Srichi, why did Rabbi Yochanan have to say two different dinim that are essentially the same? Because if I had only known the first one, that he became a mumer, I would say, okay, and there it makes sense that it's dichui, because he actually went out of his way to be doche himself. I mean, that's like a real rejection of the korban. It's mamash, a conscious rejection. Mashenkin, over here, he became, I don't know, there's something in his brain which is part of nature. It's not something that he made. So maybe over there, while he's insane, it's as if he's sleeping. We don't say that a person who's sleeping is not going to be able to be yotzei of the carbon that's brought for him because he's sleeping at this point. This person already set aside the carbon when he was sane. And now it's like, sleep inertia, super sleep inertia. So he's insane. He's asleep. Kamashma, no, that it's not the same. And this is exactly a type of dikui. Now, suppose he only had told us the one about the insanity. I would have said, yes, that's dochui, because it's not in his hands to change it. He's crazy, he's crazy. Mashenke, in the case of the guy who decided to change his religion, I mean, he could just wake up and say, oh, what, am I crazy? Exactly. So therefore, over there, it's yesh biyodol achzor. He could always do teshuva at this instant and be roy to bring the korban. So that's not a permanent kind of thing. Maybe that's not considered to be dochui. Therefore, I need both of them. Now, my question is, as Rabbi Yirmiyah raises the question, suppose a person, b'shogeg, ate chalev. He sets aside his korban chatas, and then Bezdin gives out a hora'ah that the type of chalev that he ate is not chalev. It's kosher. It's actually shuman, which means that if he comes to bring this korban in the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to say, okay, what's this korban for? It's coming to be mechaper on the chalev of this part of the stomach. Sorry, sir, you can't bring a chatas on that. That's kosher. That's the most recent ruling of Beis Din, and therefore your korban is not acceptable. It's a joke. But then, 10 minutes later, Beis Din realizes, oh my God, that was a mistake. So now they were chazrubeb, and they issued a new hora. Is that considered to be dichoy? Because he couldn't have brought it as a korban during the interim? Or not? Mi avi dichoy, u lo avi dichoy. So there was a hus saba that said to Rabbi Yirmiyah, man, that is not a question. When Rabbi Yochanan started the sugya of dichoy, and he went from the most obvious dichoy to the least obvious dichoy, the one that he started with, the starting point of dichoy, was this case. And you're coming to ask it, what about this case? This is the worst possible dichoy. It's the only time that the dichoy is in terms of the korban itself. The other dichoys are because of changes in the status of the person who's bringing the korban. Did he change his religion? Did he go insane? But over here, the problem was the korban, the din of chatas, did not apply to it. Oh my gosh, that's the absolute dichoy. So ki potach Rabbi Yochanan b'dichoyim miha potach. This was his basic petach. Why? Because my taima. In the other cases, it's only the person who was bringing the korban who was nitcha. But the korban wasn't nitcha. There's no problem with the chatas being brought on this type of achilas chelet. But in this case, the very concept of the korban disappeared. You used to think that you would be chayav a chatas for eating this, and there's no such chatas anymore. So then it's as if, poof, the whole din of the chatas disappeared. That's like the ultimate dichoy. So over here, och a korban nami itche. So this one is the most obvious. Okay, now let's remember the next thing that we had in our Mishnah yesterday, in which Shimon ben Azai said, I have a Kabbalah from 72 Zakein that only the korbanos that are ne'echolim are kosher if they were nishkat shelo lishma. Meaning that if it's a korban ayla, and a korban ayla is not ne'echolim, it too would be posel shelo lishma, and he's adding a new psul of shelo lishma for a korban ayla, right? Now, why did he say it that weird way? Mekubalani mi pi shimim v'shnayim zakein. I mean, it's very poetic. I mean, just say, mi pi shimim v'shnayim zakeinim. Ah, why did he say shvivim v'shnayim zakein? Because he wanted to express the idea that there was a complete unanimity in the decision. It's not as if there was a machlokas Sanhedrin. You could say, maybe I got confused and I'm telling you over the das of the miyut, but the rov was against it and they didn't hold it in oilas nifsal. No. This was unanimous. There's no mistake I could have made. Kula b'chod ha-shitata ha-vikayma. Now, that means that the only thing that was added by Ben Azai to the chatas and the osham of the Tanakama was an oila, because the oila is not ne'echelet. Omer of Huna, what's the logic of Ben Azai? Well, Ola hu ishe reach nichoach l'Hashem. So since it says hu, it must mean that it is, as we always say about a hu, behavayata tehe. And therefore, only if it is in oila in terms of the lishma, it's kosher as an oila, but only as an oila. Shelo lishma, it becomes pasul. That's the meaning of hu. Hey, wait a minute. But then why does Ben Azai only add an oila? It says by osham, it also says hu, which of course we've talked about many times. And we know the answer because we had this answer again so many times. Yeah, but that doesn't prove anything. Because when it says there, asham hu, it's after v'iktirotam hakohen ha-mizbecha. And therefore, since it's written la'achar haktarat emurim, and as we said before, hu atzmo shelo hukturo emurav is kosher, the Torah can't possibly be saying that a shelo lishma of haktaras emurim is going to possible it, because you don't even need to do haktaras emurim. The moment that you did the zrikas hadam, that korban has already registered, boing, and there's nothing else. You can't go back now and now retroactively possible the korban. So therefore, it couldn't mean that it's who in terms of shelo lishma possibly. That's why we didn't pay any attention to the who of the osham. Yeah, but I got news for you. It's also The who by the Ola was the Pasuk V'hikriv HaKohen et HaKol V'hiktir HaMizbecha Ola Hu. It's the same thing as the Asham. The who of the Ola also appears only after HaKtorah. So it's the same argument. So how can you say that the basis of the psul that he's adding in terms of the word who, Ben Azai would never have said that, because then he should have also added Asham. Ah, yes, you're right. But the point is that there are two different who's, because there's also who back in Shmos, V'iktarta et kol ha'ayel ha'mizbecha olahu. There we're talking about the miluim, and it says by the oila of the miluim, it also says who. So you're right, they're both about after the HaKtorah, but why would we need to say it twice unless the Torah really wants to stress it is who, and I mean who, not only after the HaKtorah, but before the HaKtorah. Well, that's a pretty smart answer, except there's one problem. It says exactly the same thing by the Asham. There are two different Ashamais in which it says who. And therefore, it says, V'ktirotam ha-mizbecha isha la-Hashem Ashamu. So, okay, true, both of them are after HaKtorah, but why do we need two? If you say, if we only need two to teach me that the Eila is Pasol, Shalo Lishma, then you've got two to teach me that the Asham is Pasol, Shalo Lishma. Oh, man. Okay, all right, this was obviously a mistake then, and that was not the basis of the limud of Ben Azai. So I wonder what it was. Okay, says Rav Huna, I'll tell you what I think Ben Azai's logic was. He says it's a kal v'chomer. If a chatas, which is not brought kalil on the mizbeach, the din is that shchita shelo lishma is psula. So an ola, which is much more chomer because it's kalil, isn't it kol shekein that it's pasul? Now we know that's not a good kal v'chomer because we've talked about this kal v'chomer, and our immediate reaction is what? No, a chatas is more chomer in the sense that it's mechaperet. The ola is not mechaperet, so fine. It may have one element of it, but a chatas would be mechaper, so there's a chumra to a chatas. You can't bring a riot to ola from chatas. And, of course, our answer is pesach yochiach. A Pesach is not Mechaper, but it's Pasul Shelo Lishma. And again, we're going through the motions here. We'll see why we're going through the motions. Mala Pesach, you can't bring a raya from Pesach. Pesach is Zman, is Kavua, and therefore it's Bur Chomer. It's the only time is that one afternoon a whole year. Well, but that can't be the critical point, because the Chatas doesn't have any specific Zman, and it too is Pasul. Okay, so we need to do Chazra Din, Lori Zekrizeh, Lori Zekrizeh. What's the Tzara Shaveh? Both of them are Kachim, Kache Kachim. Yeshechtem Shelo Lishma, they are Pasol. Sorry, Kachim, I mean, not Kache Kachim. Afani Aviyela, it's Kachim, Yeshechtem Shelo Lishma is Pasol. Excuse me? There's an obvious Tzara Shaveh, isn't there? The Tzara Shava was the Tzara Shava that we brought before when we were trying to learn out Asham, and we said, Yesh Bem Tzad Karet. You can't learn an Asham out of the Pesach and the Chatas. Remember, that was our first attempt when we were trying to learn out Asham from Pesach and Chatas, and we said you can't learn an Asham from Pesach and Chatas because Pesach and Chatas share one element. What is that? Both of them relate to Karet. How do they relate to Karet? Well, the Korban Chatas is Mechaper on Karet. And the Korban Pesach is Mechayev you Karet. If you don't bring your Korban Pesach, then you're going to be Chayev Karet. So they both relate to Karet. So therefore, maybe that's why they're so Chamur. So how can Ben Azai make that the basis? Nah, Ben Azai doesn't think that's important. That's like, I mean, a Tzad HaShoveh. You're telling me a common denominator. It's got to be a serious common denominator. What do you mean? Well, you know, they have some relationship to Karet. That's not a common denominator. If both of them were high of Karet, yeah, that would be a common denominator. If both of them were being brought as a kapara on Karet, yeah, that would be a common denominator. But you can't have one of them being high of Karet and the other one being brought as a kapara for Karet. That doesn't add up. So that's not called a tzad Karet. Ha ha. But if that's true, now we got a problem. because that was the only reason that we didn't learn out Asham from Pesach and Chatas, remember? We said, well, you can't learn Asham from Pesach and Chatas because it's Tzadkaret. But if Ben Azai's whole proof that an Oila is included is because you can learn an Oila out of Pesach and Chatas because he doesn't hold that Tzadkaret is a problem, then he can't hold that Tzadkaret is a problem for the Asham either. Which means that he would have had to add both Oila and Asham. But he doesn't. Sorry. Back to the drawing board. So Asham should be brought from the same Raya. No, when it comes to Asham, he's got another Tzad Ashav. He says you can't learn an Asham from a Chatas for Pesach because both the Chatas and the Pesach can be brought by a Tzibur and by a Yachid. An Asham, because we're viewing Pesach as like a Korban Tzibur, since it's brought together with everyone, and the din of Korban Pesach Betumah is dependent on the Tzibur. So therefore, the Asham, which is only ever brought by a Yochid, actually can't be learnt from them because of its Tzad HaShava. Or, you know what? Maybe Ben Azai actually does consider Tzad Karet to be a problem, and that's why he can't learn Asham. The truth is, I mean, this whole thing seems to be an exercise in futility. Did Ben Azai or did he not say that I am a kubel from 72 Zakei? Did he say that? What do you think he said it for God's sake? If he has learning it from a Kal Vachomer, what's he coming along and saying he's got this Kabbalah of Aloch HaLamechemi Sinai, and that's the, I mean, like, just tell us your Kal Vachomer. So obviously he wasn't basing it on that. Ben Azai Gemara Gemirila. So what's Ravuna doing? Why is Ravuna talking about this is the basis, that is the basis? Ravuna was kidding around. He figured he'll drive his Talmidim crazy. So he'll make up a Kal Vachomer. All right, let's see, boys. What are you going to do with this Kal Vachomer? Do you know how to show me this Kal Vachomer is garbage? Okay, I'll drag you through the mud. Let's see if you know the difference between the Asham and the Pesach. Let's see. There's nothing you can do to Richie like this, like Ravuna hasn't worked out. The one way of driving Richie absolutely up the wall is you give him a half an hour of Kal Vachomers, then it turns out, just kidding, Rich. And that's exactly what it was that Ravuna was doing. So he said the Kal Vachomer, lo amra lo lechadeid batalmidav. He wanted to get them thinking. Yes, thinking. Can you imagine? There they were all on Zoom and they're all looking blankly. So he introduced a Kal Vachomer just to see if he could get some intelligence on the table.